Hi, this is Dan Sheridan. This is number 6 in our series entitled The Life and Letters of the Apostle Paul. We've been talking about Paul as a Pharisee, and we talked a little bit about his training as a Pharisee. And I want you to keep something in mind. Paul says this in Philippians chapter 3. Paul says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has something to boast in the flesh, I'm more. Circumcised the 8th day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee." And that said something in those days. When you said you were a Pharisee, that meant you were quite the character. We learned last couple messages ago of the parable our Lord spoke about the Pharisee who went and prayed to himself, how he thanked God that he didn't do this, and he thanked God he didn't do this, and then he thanked God that he wasn't like this guy over here. And the Pharisees had a great prejudice. Originally, remember, the Pharisees started out in the book of Ezra, which means separated. They would start off with a good purpose of separating themselves from the pollutions that would pollute the children of Israel, to be separated unto God. It wasn't just separated from something, but separated to God. And remember, the children of Israel were to be a blessing to the world. And the Pharisaic spirit didn't bring blessing to others. It looked down on others. The true godly Israelite would not only seek to promote the happiness of the people of Israel like Mordecai did, but he would also seek to bring the heathen world, as they say, to the knowledge of the true and living God. Well, we're going to talk again. We talked about the training of the Pharisees, and I want to repeat a few things. As when Paul was 5 years old, as a young man, at 5 years old, he would have been taught the Shema, which means to hear, and they would quote, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord," a quote from Deuteronomy 6. And at 6 years old, Paul would be taken into the vineyard, which is a school. They called their school a vineyard. And at 10 years, Paul would be able to recite the oral law and the Mishnah, which is an interpretation of the law. That would be like reading, you'd be able to quote the book of Romans today by memory, and also quote a commentary on Romans. And this is kind of a parallel to that. And at 10 years old, Paul would be able to recite the oral law. I just read my notes twice here. So Paul, at 10 years old, would again recite the law and the Mishnah. And at 13 years old, he became what is called the son of the law. Now, when Paul turned 13, he would have said prayers, and this is one of the prayers that Paul would have said at the age of 13. Now, pay attention to this. "Blessed art thou, Lord our God, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who hath not made me a heathen." It sounds like the parable of Luke, where he says, not like this tax collector, but notice the spirit in which this is said. "Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who hath not made me a heathen." And then they'd say this, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, who hath not made me a slave." And then they'd say, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, who hath not made me a woman." Now hear that one. They were thanking God, blessing God, that number one, that they weren't heathen; number two, they weren't slaves; and number three, they weren't a woman. What a statement. Now ponder the effect of this training on the mind of Paul. Ponder this effect. From 5 years old up until he's 13 years old, he's being pounded and drilled with this stuff. Now, there's nothing wrong with training young men and indoctrinating them with good teaching, but like this here, this was something. The Lord Jesus told the Pharisees, you know, "You search the Scriptures, because you think that in them you have eternal life. And yet these are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life." It's one thing to be trained in searching the scriptures, and it's another thing to have a real heart for the one who wrote them. But these people turned the scriptures into something they shouldn't have been. And so Paul, think about the effect on this training. So he prayed that he thanked God he wasn't a heathen, a slave, or a woman. Now what makes that interesting is that Paul says something in Galatians 3 that's very shocking. It would be shocking to anyone who read it, who knew Paul's background. And I'm sure it was shocking to Paul himself when he came to this realization. Paul says this in Galatians 3. Paul says, but the scripture, verse 22, hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to all them that believe. But before this faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. All friends, think of that passage. Justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there in Christ is neither Jew nor Greek. Now the Greek there would be the term for heathen. From a Pharisee's view. But remember Paul's prayer, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who hath not made me a heathen. And Paul says, in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek. Now he takes that there. Then it says, there is neither bond nor free. You remember Paul's prayer, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who hath not made me a slave. Well, here it says, there in Christ there is neither slave nor free. And then it says, there is neither male nor female. Remember Paul's prayer at the age of 13? Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who hath not made me a woman. And here Paul in Galatians 3 basically undoes all of his Pharisaic teaching that in Christ we're all one. In Christ there is oneness. And he goes on, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. All one. Imagine a Pharisee saying, a Pharisee being told that he's one with a slave, he's one with a heathen, and he's one with a woman in Christ. No wonder this would not appeal to many. So that was the training of a Pharisee up until his 13th year, and Paul had this training and all the prejudices that came with it. Now, some of the what we've learned from rabbis and from the study of the Old Testament, and they all taught that there were 613 precepts in the law. Imagine that. 613 precepts in the law. There were 248 commands, 365 prohibitions. And these were called the hedge of the law. Now, there was a belief commonly held among the Jews of that day and the Pharisees that if all these 613 precepts were kept for one day by one person, Messiah would come. That's what they believe. If somebody actually kept all 613 precepts in the law, the 248 commands, the 365 prohibitions for one day, if one person did it, that would make the Messiah come. And so this is another thing. Think about Paul being taught this as a young man. And then later going on to say that law only gave sin an incentive to produce in him all manner of covetousness. Also, one thing we learn about Paul in his background as a Pharisee, we learn that if a man passes the age of 21 without being married, he committed a sin. Now, I'm of the belief that Paul was a married man at one time and was probably a widow. If you read 1 Corinthians 7, we won't get into it here, we learn that, as far as I can tell, that Paul classified himself with widows. And you can study that on your own. But as a Pharisee, he would have had to have been married. And it would have been considered, they would have been looked down upon not to do that. something very similar Paul says regarding an elder of a local assembly of believers, is that he must be married with children. And that's why I think it's a shame sometimes we see people take the role of pastor who've never been married, or they're in their early 20s. They call them youth pastors, but no one is qualified for that role if they're not married and have children. And so that's something to ponder over. Because Paul says if you don't know how to take care of a family, how are you going to take care of God's people? And so that's an important thing. That's a great training ground for shepherding others, is loving a wife and raising children. Now, so Paul must have been married, and he was probably a widower. As for his children, if he had any, we don't know. You know, we don't learn much about Paul's physical relations. We have a few references to them in the scriptures. And I think maybe this is probably why God gave him a son in Timothy. Paul spoke with such great affection toward Timothy. Paul had a fatherly heart, and he seemed to know that. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, as you know, we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. So Paul called himself a father to the Thessalonians. Also, in Philippians, he calls himself, he says of Timothy, as a son, he served with me in the gospel. Timothy served with Paul like a father served with his son. And I think God gave Timothy to Paul to satisfy the fatherly heart in this great man that God chose for us. Next time we come back, we will pick up in Acts chapter 9 and talk a little bit about Paul's conversions, the conversion of Saul of Tarsus and Acts chapter 9. It'd be a good idea. Go read Acts chapter 9 on your own, and we'll get back to that next time.